national flags, and you'll see why on Sunday morning. By the way, if you have binoculars, be sure to turn them toward Venus and the Moon. Ordinary binoculars make many sights in the sky look closer, more detailed, and generally better than before. On Monday, if you've got a really clear eastern sky before dawn, you can use your binoculars to make an interesting observation of a very old moon. An old moon is one that's about to reach the phase of new moon, when the moon is between the Earth and Sun and lost in the solar glare. The moon will be new Tuesday around noon. So Monday morning will be your last chance to see the waning moon before dawn. If you can't see the moon with your naked eye, use your binoculars to scan near the eastern horizon before the sun comes up on Monday. The moon will be the thinnest of crescents, a pale smile of a moon, shining in the pre-dawn sky. For July 17th, that's our show. Stardate is written each day by Deborah Bird. We have some information we'd like to send you on how you can order a sky calendar and star chart. If you want this information, you'll need to write us at the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, zip 78712. Remember, send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, how are you, Mike?
Pretty good. How are you, Eric?
Pretty good. Pretty good. This is the voice of Long Island. Yeah.
Yeah.
In harmony.
In harmony.
4 minutes after 12 on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You got a dial tone there?
Yes, I do.
Nice, healthy sounding dial tone.
Yes.
Does that mean we're going to make a lot of phone calls tonight?
Could be.
Wow. And where are you going?
2, 4, 6, 7, 9, 0, 1.
Well, thank you very much. That's our telephone number. And yes,
certainly is.
Area code 516, you can call us up if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And who is that lady? Why does she come in and tell us our phone number like that? It's
really
nice of her.
I don't know. She pops in every once in a while.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's really nice. I'm happy we have that service at our disposal.
It's a good thing. It's really a very, very good thing.
So how was your week, Mike?
My week was just fine.
Yeah, another dial tone.
Hmm.
What's this one going to do? Uh-oh. Oh, boy. This sounds important.
Couldn't have been too important, though, huh?
No, no.
Gosh. And my week was just very, very busy, actually.
You go to the beach at all this week?
Well, every night after work.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I went in for, you know, quick dips.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I had a good time. At work, it had been exceptionally busy. My boss is on vacation this week, so, you know the old adage, when the cat's away, the mice can play.
Yeah, so you're playing, I guess.
No, actually, it didn't work out that way.
No.
I had to work twice as hard.
Oh,
so
that's too bad. Is your place of employment air-conditioned?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah, the laboratory I work in, due to the nature of the work, has to be maintain a constant atmosphere.
Well, that's quite nice.
So, it's just very comfortable.
You know something very funny? I went
to wear a sweater, in fact.
I went to New York City today, and I was on a bus.
Oh, you did? Really?
Yeah, I was on a bus, and I was on four different trains, and they were all air-conditioned.
Really?
Isn't that amazing?
Swell.
And I went through streets, hot, muggy streets, with hot, sticky people,
uh-huh.
You know, crowded and all grimy and all that kind of thing, and Friday afternoon, rush hour. And do you want to know something weird?
What's that?
All the people were in a quote-unquote chipper mood.
Why is that?
I don't know. There's no reason for it.
Huh.
But everybody was sort of, nobody was really crabby, you know. You expect to see crabby people all over the place in this kind of weather.
Especially in New York.
Yeah, but there was something, you know, it was really uncomfortable.
I know
what
it was.
It was muggy, it was sticky, it was Friday, it was rush hour.
That's why they were chipper.
Because it was Friday? Maybe.
Absolutely.
It was because of that.
Absolutely.
But still, it was very crowded. And
mm-hmm.
But, you know, people that you don't expect to say, have a nice day, actually said it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretzel vendors? You didn't even buy anything from them?
Wow.
Yeah, what next? And things were on time, too, which is really strange. What do you have now? Turn that off.
Okay.
Sorry. My goodness. Ringing phones in the studio. How childish.
Oh, boy.
I hope we're going to do something a bit more constructive in the 3 hours ahead of us.
Well, yes, we are. We have an interview lined up with, what's his name?
Who?
The guy from the driving school.
Oh, really? I must have missed that.
I forget the guy's name, and I interviewed him. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now. You caught me in a weird mood because I'm editing him right now.
Oh, you're editing? Oh.
You know what I discovered here? I'm really amazed at this.
What's that?
If I have this little touch-tone phone in here, you know.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. 9. Okay, then we get an outside line. Okay, now where should I dial? 5-1-6-2-4-6-7-9-4-1. I did that without even having this phone off the hook.
Truly amazing.
Yeah.
And now our phone is ringing, and we know it's you.
Yeah.
If I pick up now, I hear a dial tone. Very, that's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, it was me. But listeners, of course, can call the radio station at 516-246-7901. And
convince us to stop this lunacy where we banter on and never really get anything said.
Can you see what Brianne's doing in the other studio?
Yes, and I'm amazed that she would actually stoop to such levels. I thought she was such a wholesome person.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's showing us pictures taken last summer.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Very interesting.
Ooh. Hey, that's a funny shirt. Very, very, very weird.
We can't appreciate this over the radio, though.
That's true.
Unfortunately.
She's showing us pictures of last summer's, what was it? The Arts and Crafts Festival, that's what it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's 24 degrees right now in Stony Brook.
Well, that's 75 Fahrenheit.
That it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're very good.
And
it's going to be warm and humid with some patchy fog developing. I love patchy fog. You know, I was driving late last night and going through some low-level clouds, and I always enjoy doing that. I feel like I'm in an airplane.
Yeah. Yeah, but you've never been in an airplane.
No, I never have. And from recent events, I don't think I ever will.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Give me a train or a bus any day.
Trains are fun. I enjoy riding trains.
Yeah. I even enjoyed riding the Long Island trains today.
You did?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Especially since you arranged you got a free ticket.
Yeah, thanks to our good chief engineer, Frank Berger, who happened to have an extra ticket.
Yeah.
He said, hey, you want an extra ticket? And I said, okay. Yeah. What the heck, you know?
What the heck?
I'm going to the city, had a couple of packages to drop off, so...
Yeah.
I just went in and went out, and that was it. Now I'm back.
Yeah.
It felt good to get back to Stony Brook, too.
Did it?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because that's where I left from.
Oh.
I was getting back to the point of origination.
The point of no return.
Yeah.
Well, how long were you actually in the city? Because I know I called you today around noontime.
Well, I left at about 1 o'clock. What time did I leave? No, I left actually about 2:30.
Oh.
And I was back here at about 8:30.
Oh.
But I was only in the city for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So that's the way things work.
Oh. Well, that's interesting.
But enough of that, enough of that.
Yeah.
You've got to get that interview ready.
Yeah, I have my bones here today, too.
I believe the tripod delivery person is outside.
Oh, good, 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 good.
So we should have another episode of the Tripods coming in. They're having some trouble with their sponsors, I understand.
I see.
So let me just talk to this person and see what I can work out.
Okay.
Might have to loan them something.
Hmm. Yeah.
11 minutes after 12 o'clock, the voice of Long Island, Mike Uhas over there.
Eric Corley over there.
Yeah.
Stay with us.
All kinds of interesting things. Give us a call, too. We gave you the phone number. We're not going to do it again, so there.
The floor, I'd be sad and blue, if not for you. If not for you, maybe I'd lay awake all night, wait for the morning light to shine in through, but it would not be new. You. If not for you, my sky would fall, rain would gather too. Without your love, I'd be nowhere at all. I'd be lost if not for you, and you know it's true. For you, my sky would fall, rain would gather too. Without your love, I'd be nowhere at all. Oh, what would I do if not for you? If not for you, winter would have no spring, could hear the robin sing, I just wouldn't have a clue, anyway it wouldn't ring true, if not for you, if not for you, if not for you. Rock and roll and dancing on the stage. You may be a businessman or some high degree. They may call you doctor, or they may call you king. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. A young tough, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve
somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Might
like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Yeah, Mr. Dillon there. At 19 minutes after 12 o'clock on The Voice
of Long Island.
A song I remember we used to sing at an all-night fast food place to a slow waitress. You gotta serve somebody.
That's when you used to drive up and talk to the clown, right? Is that the...
Yeah, those are the good old days. You can't do that anymore, can you?
Well, it's not a clown anymore.
And it's become more serious, you
mm-hmm.
know? Oh, we had so much fun.
Those were the days.
Yeah. Well, what do people do today, you know? This is no replacement for that.
Well, I really don't know.
So we heard you got to serve somebody, and from a much, much, much earlier album, we heard If Not For You.
Mm-hmm.
The album was called New Morning. Came out in 1970.
Hmm.
Wasn't that much earlier, but early enough.
Well, and when did this other one come out?
This is one of the more recent ones. We got this in 1979.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I remember when that song came out.
Yeah, everyone said, what happened to Bob Dylan? He's changed. He's different.
He's different, yeah. But is it for the worse or is it for the better?
No one knows.
Hmm. Well.
Well, we have something new from Gregory Isaacs right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and we're going to listen to something. This is, well, what do we got here? We got the winner all queued up on the turntable.
On the Voice.
Of Long Island. Gregory Isaacs' new album. It's called Mr. Isaacs.
number you have reached is not in service. Please ensure you are calling the correct number. Thank you. This is a recording. I'm sorry, but the number you have reached is not in service. Please ensure you are calling the correct number. Thank you. This is a recording. I'm sorry, but the number you have reached is not in service. Please ensure you are calling the correct number. Thank you.
Thank you. Never bought the race. and James Graves Marriott, a pitchcut we a claymore and a book, a run down down the mountain stain, tipping the fiery horror that was falling around our feet. Never, he cried, never shall you get me away, a rotten hound of the horny crew. With a snap of the blade and a claymore cut and thrust and I fell down the furrow, then the face. A rory cray! Pray the bottom of his hat and I would nae fall, but I was dead, dead as a king by a feet, dear kid.
Hey, Laurie Anderson fans out there, keep tuned to USB. We got something very interesting coming your way.
Well, with us in the studio right now is Mr. Oliver Horton.
Hi.
Owner of the Cuidado. How do you say that?
Cuidado. Cuidado.
Cuidado.
Yes, Cuidado, like that.
Cuidado Driving School.
Yes, yes, that's the name of it, Mike. You got it right on the nose.
How long have you been in business?
Oh, gee, I've been in business well over a decade now, and yeah, I've been here on the island. I started off, actually, in Syracuse and moved on down here back in 1971? Yeah, it was 1971.
So that's over
good
a
year.
Decade, huh?
Yeah, it is over a decade. 1 year over, I believe. And I like Long Island. It's a fun place to learn to drive and to teach other people how to learn to drive and how not to learn to drive, because there are lots of ways not to learn how to drive that people are learning anyway, and someone has to go out there and show them what not to do.
And what to do.
Exactly.
Do you do that, or do you do that?
I do both of those.
Oh,
and my
yeah.
wife helps me, too, a little bit, but
oh, really?
I don't do enough of one.
Does she do office work as well?
She does that, too, but I don't restrict her to that because I'm not that kind of a person.
That's
so we have the kids do some of that.
By the way, how was traffic on the way up?
It was fun. It really was. I got into it. It was, you have quite a few lights out here in this part of the county, and it makes things a challenge, I'll say that much.
Mm-hmm.
I got a good 9 out of 10 lights, and the one I didn't get, well, there wasn't anybody around there anyway, so it didn't really make a difference. But, yeah, oh, it was fun. Yeah, I was doing about 65 on the way over without any traffic, you know.
Mm-hmm. I see. You were good enough to send
Don't
us
spread
your...
that around, though.
Well, you are on Radio Free Long Island. You were good enough to send us your press kit here. It's I am quite impressed.
You like that, huh?
By the number of things that you have in here. All
yeah,
these,
I thought
these
you'd get
clippings
a,
and
get a kick out of
stuff
that.
Out here. Tell me about your EP.
Oh, you heard about that, huh?
Yeah,
the EP.
Well, it's listed in your press kit. How come you didn't send us a copy?
I guess it's in there.
It's not called My Baby's the Star of a Driver's Ed Movie.
No. This is a serious enterprise, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we put out records every now and then. It's we use some of the residuals that we get, and we put out, we had an album out 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It didn't really, it was mostly a West Coast venture.
Mm-hmm.
We tried it out over there to see how it would go. Yeah, the EP was called Defensive Driving, and it was a concept EP, actually. It dealt with carpooling, mostly. And
on
the flip side is a little bit about drunk driving. It's kind of a humorous spot. But yeah, it's a lecture song type of a thing. I wish I had brought a copy out here. It's really a lot of fun to listen to. The wife does backup vocals. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We even have the dog howling a little bit there. It's a story behind that, which I won't get into.
Are you sure? Well, do you have car horns and stuff in the background as well?
No, well, we didn't feel like getting... The album has that. The album has quite a bit of that.
You said
we had a good producer, but we didn't... This is...
more of a homegrown kind of thing?
Yeah, it's sort of a live track, except there's no audience, you know.
I see. Now, you mentioned that your album did well on the West Coast. Is that because of the drivers they have out there? They seem to be a little bit more reckless? Wreckful? Or?
The album was geared towards truck drivers.
Uh-huh.
And that time of... 2 years ago when the album came out, most of the truckers we found were on the West Coast.
Oh,
I don't know, they tend to shift, you know. They're over here. Right now they're in the South.
Uh-huh.
And the majority of them just move all over the place. In 2 years, I understand, most of them will be in Canada.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I could talk about your album, even though we, of course, don't have it here.
Well, I'll make sure you get a copy, Mike, but no, that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'd like to give some tips to the folks
about
driving skills and that kind of a thing.
About everyday occurrences that you
have
while driving. Well, here's one that happened to me this morning.
Oh.
I was wondering if you could tell me what to do. Actually, it wasn't this morning. This was on the way home from work. Driving home, and you know how you have a stoplight, and it's got three lights. Top is red, middle is yellow, and the bottom is green.
Orange sometimes, yeah, and green.
Yeah. Well, usually one is always on.
Uh-huh.
But the problem occurred when none of them were on, but when two of them were on. The bottom two lights were on, the yellow and the green. What should I have done in a situation like this? Well, let me ask you, what would you have done?
Well, what would I have done? I certainly would have gone, because the green light was on, and if the yellow light was on, that I would have gone for that, too. So if they're both on, that means go is twice as fast, doesn't it? Go as if you have, go with the clearance of conscience as if you have a green light.
Oh, so
and you have right of way. But also, move like hell because the light is orange and it might turn red. So that means if you're coasting through a light doing 50, oh, again, are you with me so
mm-hmm,
far?
Yeah.
Coasting through a green light doing 50 with no cars around you, you have right of way. A light turns orange, you should do 60 to get through it before it turns red. So if you see a green and an orange light,
that means you should go 110.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you see my point.
Oh, yes, I do.
See, the problem is a lot of people just don't realize these fundamental points, and that's why they have so many accidents and collide
mm-hmm.
into each other. And
I see.
I'm glad to see that you recognize that. It's really quite simple to learn how to avoid the common accident.
What do you consider the common accident? I've heard this term batted around so many times. You certainly can't take an aspirin to cure the common accident as you can the common cold.
Well, yeah, that's true. There are many kinds of colds and accidents that can happen. It's quite a parallel there. I have to write that one down. But you ask about the common accident. Well, let me think. A common accident. What's a good example of that? Well, I've never had an accident. That's why I can't really think of one right off the bat.
From what I read is I hear a lot of rear-end accidents occur.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody in front stops and someone in back keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
There's really...
And consequently, the guy in front keeps going because of the inertia from the guy in back.
Yeah, well, that actually, I never could understand why that didn't solve the whole problem, because the guy in the back gets the guy in the front going again. They should both just keep going on their way.
I don't know.
But instead, they stop, and they get out of the car, and they exchange papers, and they look at each other, and sometimes they exchange a few swear words, and people stop and look, and they cause traffic jams and everything. For God's sake, if you hit somebody underneath 40 miles an hour, just the momentum of you hitting the person in front of you will certainly get him moving again. And you will not have come to a complete stop yourself. So what is the point of stopping your car and then keeping the car in front of you stopped and possibly stopping the car behind you? It just doesn't make sense. So by all means, my rule that I try to bring across to all of my customers is to keep going no matter what. Keep going. Don't stop.
Even if you have a flat tire.
Well, have you ever seen a car move with a flat tire? They
yes,
can hobble
they look,
around pretty well.
Look,
I consider cars with flat tires to be sort of like people with broken legs.
Hmm.
You know? They don't need help. And cars like that really wish people would stop treating them like emotional cripples, because they're not. They're capable of doing just what any other car can do. If you give them the chance and treat them like a normal car. No extra fuss, no embarrassment. That kind of thing. It's really stupid to do that.
You wouldn't recommend fixing them?
Oh, certainly. When the time arises and when you are in the proper environment. But if you're on a desert stretch of a highway or something, doing 85, 95 miles an hour, and you suddenly have a blowout, what in tarnation are you going to do if you stop there in the middle of nowhere? You know, talk to cactuses and things like that. It's insane. Keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
To hit California or something, and you see a Sears Auto Service, you can just pull in and get that taken care of.
Hmm, I see. We once had a fellow on the show a couple of months ago who was, I think, taking some phone calls, and he had been recommending a place known as Larry's. I think they were located on the corner of Route 112 and 24. For automobile service, well, I come to find out this.
Oh
this
yeah,
place,
the junkyard. Yeah, I heard about that place.
Well, this place had been doing some bad things apparently, and I certainly don't want to get you into the position that you would recommend a place such as Larry's.
I don't recommend any place, except of course my own place,
mm-hmm.
because that I'm in business and I do like to see some green come in now and then, but I don't give out addresses or anything.
I see.
Because folks know the number here at the radio station. They can call me up, and I'll give them the address that way, but there's no need to do it over the air.
That's true. Well,
you're not pushing me to do that, are you, Mike?
No.
Oh, okay.
Most certainly not. If you'd like to give your number out, okay, we might as well.
Well, it's kind of late now.
Let's give the number out so they can write it down.
Okay, but don't call now. You'll wake up my wife.
That's true.
It's 480-5605.
480-5605. And isn't there another a 958 number after hours, though?
In case of emergency? Yeah, we shouldn't call on that phone because, the bell doesn't really work that well. But, yeah, 958-1234, that's a good number, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Hmm. Are there any other questions you have for me? Because I came in here with, as you can see, a whole stack of papers.
Well, why don't we go through some of these papers here?
Okay.
So, excuse me. It says here you were a doctor of letters at Columbia Law School.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cursive writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's always a problem with many members of my family. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, they always had problems writing in cursive letters. So I took it upon myself as a kid to challenge it, to master it. And I did, as you can, and there it is.
It's right in your right in your press kit here.
Yeah.
But have you been able to successfully apply this talent to your driving school?
Well, just look at the diploma that's on my wall. Obviously, you can't. There's a picture. Yeah, there's a picture of my wife in front
right
of me.
Here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at the handwriting on that diploma. I wrote that myself.
You wrote that yourself?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, see, that's not my real diploma. You know, people can't write their own diplomas usually, but it's a long story, Mike, but yeah, you'll see evidence of that all over the place. When you go through a driving course, one of our typical 12-and-a-half-month driving courses, you'll get a diploma yourself, a little card that you can put in your wallet, and it's got my writing on it,
mm-hmm.
cursive writing.
Hmm. That would be worth looking into.
So please, some more about automobiles, because people are out there right now driving, and they're probably getting into some real nasty collisions, and I want to stop that. I really do.
Now,
I want people to know that.
How would you propose to stop all accidents on Long Island today?
Well, if everybody got a car, okay, excuse me, everybody got a car and learned how to use it correctly, then that would eliminate all accidents with pedestrians, for one thing, and all accidents with bicycles and motorcycles. Everyone driving cars eliminates a good many of the different kind of accidents. Now there can only be car accidents, okay, so we take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's in a car now. Now we only have car accidents. And truck accidents, too, okay, because we can't really get rid of trucks and buses.
Wait a minute. I thought you said earlier that all the trucks were down in the south.
No, not all of them. No, that's a misconception. Most of them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and we're going for about 60% of them are down there now.
Oh, I see. So it's a great majority down in south.
Yeah, so you have everybody in trucks, buses, and cars, all right? Then you work to eliminate accidents on a step-by-step basis,
mm-hmm.
okay, let's say...
What is the first?
Well, let's pick an accident that you want to get rid of first.
Telephone poles.
Telephone poles, okay. You pass an ordinance in both Nassau and Suffolk, all throughout New York State, and you make sure that all the telephone lines are placed underground. In many places, that's been done already.
Uh-huh.
And electric lines, too, and cable TV, and whatever else is up on those confounded things. So... There go your telephone poles. No more telephone pole collisions.
Okay.
The second step. Yeah.
Is car versus trees. Now, certainly you can't put them underground.
No, that's true, but you can chop them down.
Mm-hmm.
You ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen people do it. You can chop them down, and I'm not saying chop. You can see the phones lighting up. All the environmentalists are on the line now. No, don't chop down all the trees. They're nice. The kids can climb them on Saturdays, and they provide shade, too. Did you know that?
I do recall
that
the early part of the spring before the leaves get eaten off.
Yeah, and plus you can use them for wood
mm-hmm.
and lumber and things like that. But cut down all the ones within, say, a 100-yard radius of any highway or side street or anything like
mm-hmm.
that, and there go all your tree problems. You can't collide with any more trees.
I think the most important...
Now, this doesn't have to include bushes. It doesn't have to. People seem to think that I'm including, you know, the bushes that line your front lawn. No, it doesn't
because
have to be.
They simply just don't damage cars as much as a full-fledged tree would.
Yeah, you can't really collide with a flowering bush or shrubbery
mm-hmm.
and sustain much damage. Well, the bush can, but if the bush chooses to be there, that's the risk it takes.
You're always reading in the newspapers about how cars go careening through ice cream stands. I think that should be step three, no?
Ice cream stand? I wasn't aware of that one, but if that is the case,
that's
for
yeah.
sure, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing you could...
Well, how would you eliminate that hazard?
Well, there are actually ice cream stands next to roads. There's no excuse for that. Why do they have to be next to roads? Cars don't eat ice cream.
Hmm.
People eat ice cream, so put them where people are.
In a parking lot.
In a park, well, yeah, I suppose. We're in a field, because people walk on fields. Cars aren't supposed to drive on fields.
Or on a beach.
On a beach, yes. Mm-hmm. Cars don't swim. So that's the perfect place for an ice cream vendor. Now, the other thing that I would do is, you've probably heard of things like bus plunges and...
oh, yes.
Yeah, all sorts of buses and cars and trucks plunging off bridges and things like that. I'll leave this to you, Mike. What would you do in a case like that? How would you eliminate that kind of an accident?
I'd certainly level the world.
Say what?
I'd level the world.
Well,
so
yeah.
There'd be no more hills.
You're very ambitious, but that does take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Obviously, what we have to do right now is convert all bridges. Now, bridges go over many different things. Some bridges go over water. Some bridges go over land. Other bridges go over other bridges. I saw one of those in the Bronx the other day. It was really impressive. But the thing to do with bridges is either convert them to tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
The tunnels are things that go underneath the ground.
Right.
Okay, and you don't go over anything. And you can't fall off the things if you're in a tunnel. If not conversion to a tunnel, then the next step should be a kind of a ferry service where a car would drive onto a ferry. It's a boat, and it houses cars. And the ferry would then chug its way across the body of water that the bridge would ordinarily span.
Mm-hmm.
And,
assuming that it was a body of water, not a mountain ravine.
Right, that only works on water, obviously. So that eliminates the need for anything to plunge into water, unless the boat sinks. But then you don't have a plunging effect. You have sort of a sinking,
a splashing
bubbling,
effect,
yeah.
A gurgling effect.
Gurgling.
Yeah,
precisely.
Now, this tunnel proposal you have, are you talking about an elevated tunnel sort of thing? Or are you talking in terms of a subterranean bridge?
Well, you know, that's an interesting idea, an enclosed bridge. Yeah, that's something to throw around.
Yeah.
An enclosed bridge would be a good idea because then you wouldn't be able to fall off that thing. But right now I'm thinking of tunnels because they're the least expensive.
Let me just butt in here and say that we are speaking tonight with Mr. Oliver Horton.
That's correct.
Owner of the Cuidado Driving School.
Yes.
And located, which village are you?
Brentwood.
You're working out of Brentwood.
Yes.
I see. And you've been in business for about 11 years, and he's on the program tonight to help us out with some driving tips and how he'd rid the world of accidents.
Yeah, and if your listeners have any questions, they can feel free to send them in to this program.
The Voice of Long Island.
Voice of Long Island.
Just mark that to the attention of the Voice of Long Island, and we'll get it straight to you.
Okay, and I might come back in a few weeks and answer some questions, but yeah, I should be getting back home soon because...
yes, it's getting close to 3 o'clock.
Yeah, well, I want to watch Uncle Floyd's show.
Yeah.
But is there any last question that you might have for me so that I can feel I did some good here?
No, actually, I don't have any questions, but at this point, I always just give our guests sort of like a carte blanche of the microphone. I'd like you to just point out anything that you might have to say.
Well,
it's an open mic.
Obey the rules of the road where applicable,
mm-hmm.
is what I generally say to all of our customers. Respect the rights of other cars and the drivers within the cars. Just enjoy the scenery, because what are you in a car for but to go through various domains and learn as you go through. So by all means, don't be afraid to as you're moving along to look around you and see just what you're going through. Too many people worry about driving too much when they're driving,
mm-hmm.
as if it was the most important thing that they were doing at the moment.
I've noticed that.
It's not, because you're still a human being, and you should concentrate on being a person more than a driver. So
mm-hmm.
You know, if you want.
A driver
one thing that I try to make sure none of our customers do.
By the way, we are running out of time.
Okay, well, I just want to point this out because it always annoyed me when I was growing up and I'd be in someone's car, and you try to carry on a serious conversation with the driver. The driver never looks at you. He always looks straight ahead and says something. He never turns to you and faces you unless you know what's on his mind. He always focuses on the road ahead and doesn't pay any attention to the people behind him or around him. Now, I'm a firm believer that if you're talking to somebody in the car, you should look at them, and just as you would in any other circumstance. Don't let driving interfere with your human relationships.
I've noticed that myself.
So in any event, I'd just like to urge your listeners and anyone else out there who might be listening to keep on moving in your car. Thank you very much for having me here today, Mike.
Thank you, Oliver Horton, owner of Cuidado Driving School.
Stop on by if you have a chance, and we'll give you a free discount.
Oh, well, that's really swell of you. You're listening to the Voice of Long Island.
Isn't that just a great tune?
Yeah.
I get such a kick out of that tune, driving down the middle of a crowded village in the summertime with all the windows open and the radio or the tape blasting away.
Yeah.
That's Laurie Anderson on WUSB Stony Brook. It's just one of the weirdest things imaginable, don't you think?
You bet.
You're trying to play my bones, huh?
These your bones?
Yeah.
I thought you looked kind of funny.
Yeah, no, you have to stick the one between your forefinger and middle finger, and then the other one between your middle finger and your ring finger, and you got to kind of shake your hand back and forth.
You're trying to confuse me. Is that it? Okay, well, I got them between the specified fingers. Now I'm going to shake them. Hey, that's not bad, is it, for a first time? Oops. I hit the microphone.
You're not supposed to hit the microphone by mistake or otherwise.
Well, these things are very strange. I don't know how you... Mm. Work them. Oh, they're supposed to break in two like that.
I wonder if Laurie Anderson ever played the bones.
I'm sure she's tried. She tries lots of crazy things like that.
She certainly does.
Yeah. So you have something else from Laurie here?
Well, yeah, I do. Well, you know, I should preface this. What's an example number 22? It's got a passage in there where there's somebody talking backwards. So, well, we have these new turntables, and did we tell you about the new turntables, Eric?
Did we, what, tell me about the new turntables?
Yeah, we have these reversing turntables.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
I didn't see them.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Well, they're all installed. They're in this studio here.
The one I'm not in.
That's right. But, suffice it to say that we will hear the correct version of the song, and then we'll kind of backtrack, listen to that part backwards, and then we'll just pick it up again.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Why don't we just get right into it then?
Okay.
Beispiele paranormale Tonbandstimmen. Was sind paranormale Tonbandstimmen? Es sind Stimmen unbekannter Herkunft. Es sind paranormale Stimmen.
Ihren Klang. Ich verstehe die Sprachen. Ich höre nur ihren Klang.
Beispiel Nummer 2.
What's the
Hundepferd? And it said, was in red magic marker. 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 And it said, it was in red magic marker. A palm to them parents over the destiny. 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 A palm to them parents over the destiny.
Beispiel Nummer 22.
You owe me.
Thank you. Hello, this is Boris. I do not know if you remember who I am, but I have been appearing on the Tripod family programs on the Voice of Long Island. Have not been on in quite a while, and so the boys asked me to come up and be a guest DJ. So, what we just heard was from Camel, from a new album. What is it called? It's called The Single Factor, and we heard Sasquatch. And just before that, we heard from Sky, the album called Four, forthcoming.
WUSB, Stony Brook.
And the song called Masquerade and The Ride of the Valkyries. And it is now time for the adventurous adventures of the Tripod family.
Radio Free Long Island, giving the Three Village Tobacco Farms one last chance to come up with some bucks. Charlie presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family. A story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle for security and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week, we go back to the Tripod home in beautiful Stony Haven. And as we look in, we hear Howard and Kathy arguing about...
All I can say, Howard, is that you picked one fine time to invite your Aunt Angela to stay with us.
Why, what do you mean, Kathy?
Oh, don't play games with me, Howard. You know as well as I do that the primaries are coming up, and I have to figure out a way at least to get Victor's name on the ballot.
So, what does my Aunt Angela have to do with the election plans?
It's so obvious. Howard, whenever your Aunt Angela comes over for a visit, she throws the entire household into pandemonium. She's worse than Uncle Jonathan. I simply won't be able to concentrate.
Wait a minute. Now, just hold on there, Kathy. I don't like that comparison. Did my Aunt Angela ever send you to a remote island and then forget all about you when you got lost? Did she?
Well...
Did my aunt send us through the sewers of France without letting us know why we were risking our lives?
Well...
Was she responsible for our having to leave Big Bear City?
Well, I don't think she was.
Of course not. That's exactly my point. Your Uncle Jonathan did all those things to us, and probably a lot more that I can't think of at the moment. But what really bothers me is that you don't see all the terrible things that he's responsible for.
Of course I do, Howard, but I also see something you don't.
And what's that?
The fact that he meant well.
Oh, come on, Kathy.
Well, it's true. He's always trying to help us out in some way. The problem is he usually bungles the entire thing.
And leaves us worse off than ever in the end. Now, you just can't say that about my Aunt Angela.
Well, that's true, Howard. I admit it. Your Aunt Angela has never tried to help us.
Good, exactly. That's what I've been... Wait, hold on there. What's that supposed to mean?
Well, it's true, Howard. I'm sorry. Every time she comes to visit us, she expects us to wait on her hand and foot like she was the Queen of East Germany or something. I'm not going to let it affect me this time, though. I've got to figure out how to raise some funds for Victor's election. I'll be too busy to even acknowledge her presence.
You know, it's really funny how you suddenly become serious about Victor's campaign now when my Aunt Angela is involved. But what about before, when you were out gallivanting with Stanley Steinstein?
Howard, we've been through that at least 23 times now. Do we have to keep trotting over the same ground?
We may have been through this before, Kathy, but I never seem to be able to get a straight answer out of you.
Well, that's not altogether true, Howard.
Regardless, I just want to make it clear that my Aunt Angela is coming all the way from Blue Ball, Pennsylvania, to make this visit, and we should treat her with respect and try to make her comfortable in whatever ways we can.
Somebody at the door.
After all, she is a blood relative, and it's only customary to treat blood relatives with a certain amount of decency, even if that may present some slight inconvenience to the people who... Kathy, where are you going?
I'm getting the door, Howard. And if you'd stop bantering for 1 minute, you might hear some of what's going on around you.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh!
Who's out there, Kathy?
You'll never believe this, Howard. It's Charlie.
Charlie!
Hi, Charlie!
How you doing, folks?
Oh, come on inside, Charlie. It's been such a long time since we've seen you.
Yeah, we haven't seen you since before our trip to Europe.
Well, we were so shocked to hear about you getting shot.
That's really, really amazing.
What?
I just can't believe it. You folks are really doing an excellent job.
What do you mean, Charlie?
Well, he's probably talking about that chrysanthemum garden I started out in the front yard. Yeah, I really broke my back over that, Charlie. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, he was out there toiling like a migrant worker.
Listen, I know I'm not supposed to say anything to spoil the game, but you people are really fantastic. You've duplicated everything so perfectly.
We've done what?
I'd never guess I was really in the 21st century.
What?
This is just like being home again. I'm impressed. I really am. And you know I don't impress easily.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. This is some kind of a game the two of you are up with, right?
What?
Drive poor old Kathy crazy.
I really don't know what Charlie's talking about, Kathy. Honestly, I'm as much in the dark as you are.
Well, what's he ranting and raving about anyway?
I'm sorry if I messed up anything. I know I wasn't supposed to mention the fact that this is all a game. But you have to understand that I'm from the 20th century, and I just can't control myself the way you superior beings do.
Charlie, why don't you come and sit down in the backyard for a while?
Yeah, yeah, I'll fix you a drink. I'll make your favorite, rum and Pepsi.
I'll make it, Howard. You two go out back and talk for a while.
Well, let's get back to the game. I'm Charlie, you're Kathy, and you're Howard.
Well, at least you got all the names right. And now if you could
look, there's Aunt Angela.
And so the tripods are a bit baffled by the behavior of Charlie, who thinks he's in the 21st century. You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Howard say, Aunt Angela, I'd like you to meet our next-door neighbor, Charlie. He just went insane. That's next week on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, a co-presentation of Radio Free Long Island, and we think the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
I don't lie. It's a Monday. Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah. Oh, can't stop playing the bones to that tune by Black Uhuru called Mondays from the new album called Chill Out.
That is for certain.
On the voice of Long Island.
Mike, is there any reason for us to share what we just found out with the public?
Well, we might as well. It's concerning the solvency of the Three Village Tobacco Farms.
Yeah, something apparently has happened, and I don't know. Well, you're the one who found out, I guess, right? We're dialing the number of the Three Village Tobacco Farms, and this is what we got when we dialed the number.
But the number you have dialed at this time is not in service. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your operator. Thank you. I'm sorry, but the number you have dialed at this time is not in service. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your operator. Thank you.
Well, bad news for the tripods.
Yeah, it's about the worst thing that could possibly happen. Let me get rid of this.
Get rid of him.
Does that mean possibly that the tripods may be an extinct species?
I don't know. I really don't know.
We're going to have to look for other underwriters.
I know that that the Three Village Tobacco Farms have been giving us problems, giving, you know, the production company that makes the tripods problems for quite a while now.
Yeah.
They haven't come through with anything, and I know Don Topeka's been really upset about that.
Yeah, he mentioned it the last time I spoke with him.
Yeah, so where the tripods stand now is anybody's guess.
Mm.
And I certainly hope they'll be able to come up with somebody who can sponsor the show from now on.
I hope so, too.
If you have any suggestions, I guess you can call us. We'll pass it along to the production company. What's our number again? I'm too choked up to even think of what our number is.
Let me dial it.
Okay.
2-4-6-7-9-0-1.
Okay. Well, we got a call now. Let's see who this is. USB, you're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, Mike, it's you.
Yeah, of course it's me.
Oh, well, that's not funny.
Oh, okay. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, the fun we have.
Yeah, but, you know, this is a tragic moment right now.
Mourning the loss of the tripod family.
Well no, it's not. We haven't lost the tripods. I hope we don't lose the tripods, but
we've lost the three of those tobacco farms together.
Well, maybe they just disconnected their phone. Well, who am I kidding?
They could be on vacation.
You can't disconnect your phone like that. I mean, I've never heard a recording like that where it doesn't mean, you know, it's for real.
You know, I think the most important part of that was that the recording didn't start with a...
Yeah, I know. Mm. That means something, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, this is the Voice of Long Island. It's about 10 minutes to news time, or actually 12 minutes or so from 1:54. 8 or something like that.
Yeah, and at 2 o'clock, don't forget, we have our album side room. It's still open, I believe, is it?
Yes, I think it is.
So if you have a sponsor for the tripods, and if you have a suggestion for an album side at 2 o'clock, give us a call, and we'll see what we can do.
We'll see what we can do.
Area code 516-246-7901. Okay, what do we have over here on the turntable number 9?
Something from Black Uhuru.
Another song from Black Uhuru.
This is from their first album. It was gone through some personnel changes since that point.
Uh-huh.
And so this is something called, what's it called? I don't know what it's called, but what we just heard was from their new album, Chill Out.
Well, this is called Love Crisis.
Yo.
So let's get into it.
So Burger World. Can I place your order, please?
Yeah, I want to ask you guys something. Could I have a dumb burger, two skanking shakes, some rhythm fries, and a large order of dub wild?
Give me, 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 give me
to have a good vibe.
I am an Irish on yeah.
Irish ice.
Whoa, whoa. Positive vibration.
Get down and you quarrel every day. You stay in prayer to the devils, I say. Whoa, why not help one another on the way?
Make it much easier. Yeah.
If you know what I mean, make way for the positive day. Cause it's new days and days, new time. And if it's a new feeling, then it's a new Zion. Oh, what a new day.
Pick it up.
Yeah, Positive Vibration, the late, great Bob Marley.
Yeah.
Here on USB from the album Rastaman, Vibration. Yo, and we heard two Black Uhura songs before that, Love Crisis and African Love, all on 90.1 FM out of Stony Brook, New York.
Well, it's 1:55 and time now for a look at the latest news. Currently it's...
Well, you know, I have, before I tell you the temperature, I have 1:56 on the clock on the wall and 1:57 on the digital clock, and you have 1:55 in there?
No, it's 1:56 now.
Oh, it's 1:56. So let's say it's 1:56 and 30 seconds, and everybody will be okay. You want to start over again? Take it from the top.
No, not really. What's the temperature?
Oh, 24 degrees right now.
Okay, it's 24 degrees Celsius in Stony Brook, 75.
Fahrenheit
scale. Two Democratic senators say the Reagan administration has come out with a report that Israel may have violated arms agreements with the U.S. At issue is Israel's use of U.S.-made weapons in its invasion of Lebanon, weapons that are supposed to be used only for defense. Senator John Glenn, a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, has called for hearings on the report, which has not been made public, and Massachusetts Senator Paul Shungas says efforts are underway to get the secret report declassified. The United States reportedly has clamped down on shipment of weapons known as cluster bombs to Israel. Saturday's New York Times says delivery of the shells was stopped, but a State Department spokeswoman says she has no information on that. The U.S. has asked Israel for a report on allegations that the fragmentary bombs were being used against civilians. AFL-CIO President Lane Kirkland
has taken aim at a change in the child labor law proposed by Labor Secretary Raymond Donovan. Donovan wants to allow 14- to 15-year-olds to work longer hours and do more jobs. Kirkland calls the plan preposterous. He says the changes would mean less work for older teenagers, a group that's suffering from particularly high employment. For older workers, it's another story. The Reagan administration has once again endorsed legislation to eliminate mandatory retirement because of age, but it wouldn't protect those over 70 looking for jobs or trying to get promotions. A bill introduced by Florida Democratic Congressman Claude Pepper and others would give full protection to over 70 workers.
You tell him, Kirkland. Yeah, the first European leader to meet with Secretary of State Schultz will be West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt. Schmidt travels to the U.S. for a private visit on Tuesday. Schultz was sworn in on Friday. There's a shakeup going on in the Polish Communist Party, the biggest since last year's martial law crackdown. Several top party officials quit Friday, including the head of the official news agency. The resignations are seen as strengthening the position of martial law chief General Wojciech Jaruzelski. Meanwhile, a papal visit to Poland in August appears doubtful. The information comes from Archbishop Joseph Glemp of Poland, who's in Rome for talks with the Pope. Glemp was quoted by an Italian magazine, Sabato, as saying it's not likely Pope John Paul can visit his homeland as planned for a religious ceremony next month. Some papal conditions apparently are not being met. Italian police say terrorists armed with submachine guns killed a police officer in Milan Friday. They say the shooting occurred as 20 people were being held hostage during a robbery. A left-wing terrorist group allied with the Red Brigades has claimed responsibility. And the Italian news agency ANSA says a Red Brigades member who cooperated with authorities has been paroled. The 25-year-old man was one of 16 Red Brigades members convicted in the kidnapping of U.S. Brigadier General James Dozier last December. The man led police to the apartment where Dozier was being held and gave state's evidence.
A hearing has been scheduled in state Supreme Court in Hauppauge next week for Suffolk County to present arguments on why a trial should be held in the state's transfer of inmates to the Pilgrim State Psychiatric Center in Brentwood. State Supreme Court Justice Catherine England set the hearing for Wednesday on Suffolk County's application for the trial. Attorneys for Suffolk County contend the State Department of Corrections acted illegally in transferring prisoners to the Pilgrim State Psychiatric Center. Suffolk County is seeking a permanent injunction to bar inmates from being housed in the new prison. The Department of Corrections opened Monday. So far, about 300 inmates from various state prisons had been transferred to the three buildings at Pilgrim State that have been renovated into a medium security prison. The State Corrections Department hopes to house a total of 1,000 inmates at Pilgrim State. The transfer has been opposed by Suffolk County, the Four Towns Civic Association, and residents living near the psychiatric hospital who fear the prison will adversely affect their neighborhood. Several hundred residents demonstrated outside the gates of the Pilgrim State Hospital at night as the inmates have been brought in. According to Assistant Suffolk County Attorney Robert Cimino, the county hopes State Supreme Court Justice James Gowan will preside at the trial. Justice Gowan had ruled earlier that the state failed to take into account the effect the prison would have on the psychiatric patients housed in another section of Pilgrim State. The appellate division of the state Supreme Court overturned Justice Gowan's ruling on Tuesday in the state's highest court. The Court of Appeals on Wednesday refused to block the inmates' transfer. The latest legal maneuvering will not immediately affect the state's transfer of inmates to the psychiatric facility.
And it's a dream come true for 37-year-old Greg Brazier of Long Island, who built his own 70-foot steel-hulled sailing ship in his backyard and is ready to begin carrying cargo from Long Island to Bridgeport, Connecticut. Brazier took his ship, the Phoenix, on its maiden voyage around Long Island today. The white and red-trimmed Phoenix, named for the legendary bird that was reborn from its own ashes, and now symbolizing the return of wind-powered cargo ships, was docked for a few hours at the South Street Seaport Museum in Lower Manhattan. It then sailed for Port Jefferson on the north shore of Long Island, where Brazier plans to open the Atlantic packet lines to carry cargo to Bridgeport, Connecticut.
After reading a book on shipbuilding and taking a course on welding, Brazier built the Phoenix with ordinary hand tools, using such things as a block and tackle to handle the inch-thick 2,000-pound steel slabs. Lieutenant Junior Grade Randy Gilbert of the U.S. Coast Guard Marine Inspection Office says it's a very fine vessel. Gilbert says the Phoenix must still pass a few tests, such as an incline test to determine the boat's center of gravity and general seaworthiness before it earns its final license. Brazier spent 2.5 years building the boat at his home in East Islip, while he worked nights as a security guard at the State University of New York at Farmingdale. He has a bachelor's degree in human relations from St. Joseph's College on Long Island, but no particular training in building boats. The idea for the boat grew out of the escalating fuel costs of recent years. Brazier says he was sailing on the Great South Bay one afternoon, and it wasn't costing me anything. It was just the wind. According to Brazier, he can carry goods across the Sound between Connecticut and Long Island quicker and less expensive than by other means. He notes the Sound is 15 miles wide there, and it's at least 75 miles through the city. The boat trip can be made in 1.5 hours. In addition, Brazier says he can carry up to 30 passengers and run pleasure cruises.
And speaking of the sea, later today a group of fishermen will be hunting the silent killers of the deep as the Surfside 3 Tuna Club holds its first shark fishing tournament. Joe Sebastiano, treasurer of the club, says the tournament will be headquartered at the Lindenhurst Town Docks at the foot of Wellwood Avenue and will run from 5:30 this morning until 7 p.m. tonight. Sebastiano says about 40 boats are expected to participate. The entry fee, says, is $100 per boat. Sebastiano, citing an abundance of sharks in Long Island waters, says fishermen will be going after a number of species of the fish, including makos, blue sharks, and great white sharks. He expects catches of up to 500 to 600 pounds each. Sebastiano says that prizes of $1,500, $750, and $250 will be given to the three largest sharks caught. He says that anyone interested in entering the tournament can register at the Lindenhurst. Well, kind of too late for that. The registration was open till 8 o'clock last night.
Oh, shucks. Well, on the good side, it's currently 25 degrees in Stony Brook, and it's 77. It's just climbed a couple of degrees on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting to be warm, humid, with some patchy fog throughout the night. Lows will be near 70. Tomorrow, continued hazy, hot, and humid, with highs 85 to 90, except cooler at the shore. There's a foghorn in there somewhere. Yeah, tomorrow night, warm and humid with some patchy fog, low near 70. And the winds will be light and variable tonight and tomorrow. Light and variable winds with patchy fog. Outlook for Sunday, hazy, hot, and humid. Three big H's with highs 85 to 90, except cooler at the shore. And there are no advisories in effect for Long Island waters at this time.
And it's about 5 minutes past two. You're tuned to WUSB Stony Brook. I'm Mike Uhas.
And I'm Eric Corley. And we have an album side for you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one was suggested by one of our listeners.
One of our decadent listeners who wants to hear this stuff.
Yeah. And
if you have any kids, throw them back in bed, because this isn't the kind of stuff they want to hear.
Yeah, if you're a kid or something and you're up now, you shouldn't be up. Look, Saturday morning cartoons are coming. You know, you'll miss them if you stay up much longer.
That's right.
And your mind will become all decayed and stuff. So, you know more about this than I do, really.
Is this side one of Gallagher?
Yes, it is. Now, you know a little bit more about him than me, because I don't really know anything about him.
Well, he's very hysterically funny.
Yes.
So let's just play.
Well, when did this album come out?
I don't know. You're the one with the album in your hand.
Let me see if I can find a clue here. I mean, is he big in the present time? This came out in 1980. Okay.
Yeah. Now, what he did was, I think, I saw him on the K-Bola. He was on K-Bola a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And he said that he didn't really get into this comedy stuff as a career. He started off, I think, what did he say he was? A builder? Or something like that. I don't know. A biologist. One of those. And then he just got into this comedy stuff because it just worked out so well for him. And so we're going to hear side one of his album.
Okay, and once again, you know, if you are easily offended...
Well, by all means.
To hell with you. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I really didn't mean to say that, because now they're really offended if they're easily offended. No.
Yes.
If you're like Mr. Estes out there... Supreme Court judge. You know, wasn't that funny? I mean, no, that wasn't funny.
I thought that was hysterical.
Well, okay, but I won't say anything about that. His last name, though, was the exact same name of the park in which the dam burst
in
that
Colorado.
Exact same day.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times is the name Estes?
Yes, I was listening to the news.
The two top stories in the same day.
That's
both
right.
Both had that name in them.
That's right.
Strange. Golly. Very strange. Let me see if I can find that name on this album. No, 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 this name is not, no, it's not on there, definitely not.
But, you know, if you take the word stereo,
uh-huh,
you take out the R and the O.
Oh, come on.
And added an S, and mixed them up a little bit.
Let's just listen to the album side, and if people out there have any comments on things that either we have control over or don't have control over...
By all means, don't call us up.
No, give us a call.
516-246-7901.
516-246-7901. Thank you.
Tonight's show will be a round-robin affair. I'll come around to each of your tables and entertain you individually. We'll just start in the middle and kind of move out. Start with you? No, everyone starts with you. Well, we have a good group here tonight. I don't know, people just seem to like a crowd. Have you noticed that? The bigger the crowd, the more people show up for it. If you have a small crowd, nobody shows up. Probably don't know this, I'm an astrologer. If you'll call out your astrological sign, I'll tell you a little bit about yourself one at a time, please. Pisces, sign of the big mouth, first call out in any group. It's okay. Everybody makes mistakes. Even our maker makes mistakes. Look around the room. I like to make jokes about ugly people. I figure who's going to come up after the show and complain, you know? Hey, man, I resemble that remark. I like to see two ugly people holding hands in love. You know, I figure it gets them both out of circulation. I don't know if it's a good idea to have them together, though. They might be home now, frumping up a whole new generation of little bitty ugly people. People sit around and contemplate their navel these days. I contemplate my nose and notice imperfections. Do you think it's a good idea to put a wet, drainy thing like that upside down over your mouth? It's unsafe. It's unsanitary. If the health department saw it, you'd have 10 days to fix it or move out. But where else could you put your nose? Like, every place out of the way has got kind of a stink touch. Couldn't put it around there and couldn't put it back there. You could switch it with your belly button. That way your face would look like a bowling ball. But then every time you sneezed, your zipper would whistle. Or your dress would fly up. Go, choo! Eskimos would have to drop their pants to kiss. That'd be... I think it'd be neat if the parts of your body really were parts and you could mix and match and move stuff around, wear something out to get some new, you know, send stuff out to get it chromed. Say you're laying in bed on a Saturday morning, your woman says, get your ass out of bed. You go, here, take it, leave me alone. You could ask her for a piece, you might just get it. I was thinking the other day, if your knees bent the other way, what would a chair look like? You people ain't thinking about this stuff. Well, you ain't smoking what I'm smoking. Now, I'm not advocating use of any illegal smoking materials by members of our society that do not wish to do so. Although I think it's a good idea for old people, it makes the time go slow. Could add years to retirement, get your grandma a lid of Columbia and a ton of yarn, and get back an Afghan to cover the garage. Set her down, let her rock out. Some of you don't know what I've been talking about. We have some informative pamphlets for you on the way out. We have everything you ever wanted to know about dope but could never remember the questions long enough to ask. And How to Roll a Joint Without Looking by Jose Feliciano. All available. Oh, yeah? This blind man goes in the drugstore. Starts knocking stuff off the shelves with his cane. Man comes over and says, can I help you, sir? He says, no, I'm just looking. I thought you wouldn't laugh at a joke like that. You think I don't know the value of handicapped people in a society? You're wrong. If it wasn't for handicapped people, I never would find a parking space. Oh, you don't do that, do you? You don't use that stall in the bathroom. It's a big wide one with the monkey bars, do you? That's a good place to park. Just about the time you sit down, you see some wheels come rolling, right? If you're smart, you'll limp out, you know?
There you go, guy.
Just warming it up for you. Now, I have ideas that might benefit the handicapped. You know them houses out by the airport nobody wants to live in? Why don't we give them to deaf people? I hope I didn't offend any deaf people, but I don't guess they heard that joke. I could save us some money, too. Do the missionaries come by your house about every other day? Well, why don't we give them the mail to deliver? They're already... That's ought to be up there checking for crap. Now, these ideas ain't any dumber than the government. You know what the government calls the department in charge of everything outdoors? Department of the Interior. The only word you can't use. Sounds like it ought to be staffed by decorators instead of bureaucrats. Could you see like a decorator in charge of Hoover Dam? Oh, this whole wall has to go. Masonry, masonry, masonry. Windows, put in the light. I do that good, don't I? Well, I'm from Hollywood. Living in Hollywood's like living in a bowl of granola. What ain't fruits and nuts is flakes. I was going to tell a Catholic joke. Are there any Catholic people here tonight? Well, would you mind if I told a little Catholic joke? This raggedy-ass old nun. Is wandering home from the convent. She has to go through the park. Now this dude jumps out of the bushes, drags her back in there, and heads his way. Then he says unto her, he saith, saying, what will you tell the Holy Father now? She says, I must tell the truth. I must say, I'm walking home from the convent when this man jumped out of the bushes and raped me twice, unless you're tired. Now, that's as dirty as my show gets. Because they say cleanliness is next to godliness. Why do they say that? I looked it up in the dictionary. Goggles is next to godliness. Cleanliness is next to claustrophobia and cleavage. You can look it up. But people are always telling you stuff you don't need to know. People tell you to eat before you go to the grocery store. That way you don't buy so much. Well, that don't work with the liquor store, does it? You You go there drunk, you buy everything they got. Let me have that 55-gallon drum of ruffle right there. I consider drunk as a mind-expanding experience. It allows me to make new connections, you know. I ask new questions I never asked myself or others before. I say, yeah, things like, what makes the Teflon stick to the pan? Why does a cowboy wear two spurs if one side of the horse goes, so does the other? If M&M's melt in your mouth but not in your hand, what do they do stay under your arm? Do you have to brush your teeth during a fast? And why do they call it a fast when it goes so damn slow? And when yogurt goes bad, how can you tell? Why do they call them buildings when they're already done building them? They ought to call them built. Or crumblings, you know. Living that crumbling over there. I don't know how a forest fire can start from a little thing. Sounds a little bit like an English ambulance. Then into the distance. Do you ever get the hiccups? That must just knock you on your ass. Are you with her? You're with her?
Yes.
Wonder what she does in the bedroom. I hope you don't laugh like that. Well, laughing's okay as long as you don't point. Gee, I hate to go back to my act. It seems so boring. I just wanted to mention, how can a forest fire start from a little thing like a cigarette or a match? I can't get nothing happening in my hibachi with kerosene and hand grenades. If they discover mother's milk causes cancer, where are they going to put the warning? And I wonder, why does a man have nipples and no tits? Does a plumber put a faucet on the wall? No pipe? Is it bad taste to give a digital watch to a one-armed man? My dad used to ask me stupid questions. He'd say, you want your face slapped? No, but I could use my butt kicked. What do you say? That's why they call it rearing a child. I wonder, did Indians bother with bald cowboys? I mean, why take a scalp? What are they going to do with a beanie? This bugs me, too. When one falls out of my head like this one here, I often wonder, like, what held it in yesterday? It needs washing, but I'm not going to wash it. I figure it's going to fall out and take the goddamn dirt with it. It needs cutting, too, but you don't prune a dead tree, do you? I don't even comb it. I figure the tangle's holding half of it in. Big deal, parallel hair. Who needs it, right? They say it's hereditary. You know, they say it's in your genes, but that's wrong. I got hair in my genes.
Hey,
meat is in my hat. I guess you look at this, you say to yourself, well, I bet he don't get much. Well, you're wrong. I don't get any. I got a question here for the sexually liberated society that we live in. If your woman leaves you for another woman, should you hold the door for both of them? It is a sexually confusing society. You never know what or who you're talking to. What was the idea of transsexuals? Oh, look at that woman right there. Might be a man's spirit trapped in that body. I applied it to myself. I thought, well, maybe there's a female spirit trapped in my body, and I don't know it because she's a lesbian. How would I know? I like some girl stuff. Always felt safer on a girl's bike, for instance. Does it seem reasonable to you that the one with the balls gets the one with the bar? You people mostly vegetarians?
Yeah.
Not me. I like wieners. People will tell you not to eat this stuff. But I'm telling you, you better eat it. Because it contains chemicals. You need to build up your resistance to chemicals. See, if you lead a pure life, you don't get no chemicals, and then you get some of this by accident, it's going to lay your ass out dead. I'm building up my resistance right now. I read where lecithin could make you smart. Did you read that? You need 30 grams a day to be smart. Then they told you where you could get that lecithin. In eggs. Every egg contains 1.2. Sounds smart, you got to eat 2 dozen damn eggs. You got an exam, you want to be smart, you got to have an omelet the size of a throw rug. Well, they don't figure you're going to figure this stuff out. Most of you people college students? I don't like college students. They always have this attitude like they're so smart, you know? They're in school, something ain't together. You don't go to the hospital and find people bragging about their health. Do you ever exhale? I went to school. I went to college for 6.5 years. It was a real long war. I have a degree in English literature. What are you going to do with that? If you don't teach, what are you going to do? Open up a poem repair? What was your major? What is it? Math and sociology. Counting people. We can get you a job here at the door. We got a lot of girls all in a kind of a group. Are you all college girls? Well, are you good girls? Are you? Well, that's why you don't have dates. What? What's the matter, man? Something happened today? Your mother make you wear that shirt? Did your mother used to lay your clothes out on the end of the bed like a little flat person? Put the shirt and then the pants bent over the edge and went down. Then put the shoes next to the feet and put the socks in the shoes. Used to put my underwear in my pocket. I left it there. I figured it was a spare. You know? Come in handy a couple times, too. There's one article of clothing, though, I can't discuss too much because it doesn't concern me, pantyhose. I consider pantyhose a sexual deterrent. Why else do they reinforce the crotch? If the knee gets all the wear, ought to be a big double knee on them. I used to wear my socks over my shoes so when my laces came untied, I didn't trip over them. But I've always been ahead of my time. I knew school was stupid when I was a little kid. I used to play hooky, and when they catch me, you know what they do? They kick me out. And that stupid punishment, you know? He won't come, we won't let him, you know? Fixed his ass. But I liked church. Church was a weekly reminder there was something worse than school. I'm kind of into knowledge more than I am into sex these days. Kind of an infomaniac. Are you people still into sex? I'm beyond it. I'm over the hump. A lot of coughing. You a smoker? You don't smoke? Well, you ought to. You already got a cough. I think you do. I'm going to light up now. It'll make the last part of the show longer. I'm only doing this because of the law. If you don't use it on stage, you can't write it off your income tax. I ain't paying $50 a lid for shit and not writing it off. I put it down under transportation.
Gosh. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a tragedy to play just the first half.
Damn shame.
Of the album without playing the second half, The Other Side.
That's what it's usually called, yeah.
So do you want to play The Other Side or what?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, we're listening to Gallagher.
Yeah.
And this is the voice of Long Island.
And that's Mike Juhas over there, and this is Eric Corley over here. And we've got another half hour to go in our program.
Then Filippito should be in.
Yes.
So stay with us.
90.1
FM. Stereo. Yeah.
You people watch a lot of TV, watch sports on TV for exercise? My idea of roughing it is like black and white TV, you know? I really feel tired after a good game, do you? You people into sports much? Skiers? I don't like skiers. Don't you think skiing's kind of dumb? You get up on top of a slippery mountain with sleds on your feet and you go down. Big deal. Try not to. Go up. That'd be a sport. Look at somebody throw up that mountain, you know? People into bowling? There's another dumb one. The object of the game is to do the same thing over and over and over. Won't that be fun? Bowling is an excuse to get drunk. And drunk is an excuse for your bowling. Any you people into tennis? Another dumb one. Object of the game. hit the ball where your partner ain't, so they have to stop and walk after the ball. While they're walking after the ball, you stand there. You do this for exercise. They ought to put the net around the court and get it out of the middle where it keeps screwing up the game. All you need is streamers or a grass skirt hanging from the net in the middle there. Just, you know the ball goes under it. You don't need to walk up and get the damn thing. Soccer, to me, is stupid, too. Anytime something hits you on the head, that's dumb. I mean, your head, your brain, your intellect, it's you. And you go, there's the ball. I'll hit it with my head. Football? Well, I'll tell you, I wish that the Russians knew about our professional football players. See, every time we compete against them, we lose something because we don't have our professional athletes competing. We got a bunch of college kids competing against their big guns, you know? They think they're tough shit. They ain't nothing. These Russians, they get their confidence up playing against us, you know? In fact, I don't like it when they hear about the army losing to, like, William and Mary. You ever see that? Why can't our service academies do better in sports? I mean, how in the hell good are they going to do in war if they can't win football or something? Against William and Mary? Sounds like a dull couple from New England, you know? We always lose the biathlon to the Russians. This is where you ski in the snow and then stop and shoot, and then you ski and then you shoot. We lose that all the time. That's our weakness. If they attack us in the wintertime, we're going to lose Squaw Valley, Lake Placid. Now, they're over there training right now for the Olympics in Los Angeles, and they're trying to recreate the same atmospheric conditions they're going to have over here. They're having their people run through forest fires sucking on a muffler. You see on the news, how in the hell can they call it air quality? Those two words do not go together. It's like hamburger steak and military intelligence, you know? Or uncontested divorce. Somebody's pissed. You know, they say that the cities are ruining the environment. This isn't true. It's the farmers. By planting crops, they leach the nutrients from the soil. They rotate the crops, they rotate the nutrients, they leach from the soil. Whereas the city puts down parking lots, the asphalt seals in the nutrients. You know what white sugar does to you? Causes you to be hypertension, gets you wired. Caffeine does the same thing. Why is it we let cops go to donut stands? That's why they're all so wired. They go, where the fuck again? Where the fuck again? I look at the corner and I see trash and the trash cans piled up. No municipal employee to pick it up, but we got people in little jogging outfits running around the block for the fun of it. What? You got that much energy? Go get a job. You know, pick up litter, trail a criminal, go down to the cops, go, who you want me to fuck? Instead, they go down to the gym, they pay money to lift chrome. Make the trash cans out of chrome, get the shit picked up. I'm down on ignorance and stupidity every place I see it. Let me tell you something about driving, because I know there's people in here that do this. A yellow light does not mean put it to the floor. Yellow light means you lose. Stop. Slow down. Next time you go. But see, Everybody saw a few people running a yellow light and decided, hey, I can do that too. So now everybody ran the yellow light. So the people that used to run the yellow light to be different now run a little bit into the red. And you do it too, because you know you can beat that other guy to the middle of the intersection because you got a running start. Right? You ever decide to run the yellow light and the guy in front of you chickens out? That'll put a spot on the front seat. Well, listen who this screws up. This screws up me. If I come up to that intersection to turn left, I get in the left-hand lane. The light turns green. I sit there during that whole green. Right? I'm willing to pay my price, take a little time. After all, I am turning left. But when that yellow comes up, whose is it? Mine. Paid for it with my goddamn green. But no, here comes everyone so busy. Use up all of the yellow, a little bit of the red. Here come the traffic. Whose ass is in the middle of the intersection? Me. See, I got to drive real safe because I don't have any insurance. They don't give it to entertainers. My dad had this problem when I was a kid, you know. He owned a roller skating rink. We couldn't get insurance there, so he just put up a sign, you know, not responsible for accidents. Skated on risk, so I put a sign up on my car. Unemployed entertainer. Fuck with me, I dare you. But I'm still responsible for all damage to another car, so I just hang my old tires around my car like a tugboat. I don't care. A real sense of freedom knowing you got a big rubber bumper all around your car. I don't know why they don't build a car like that, like a Dodging car, so you could have some fun on the road. You know what I mean? City people like contact. They like to jostle around. The same thing when you get out on the road. You like to bang around a little bit. You know? Somebody starts coming in your lane. Bow! Move over. You're at a red light, old lady in front of you, the light turns green, she don't go. I got gas in first gear for two cars. You can't give an old lady whiplash because her head don't go above the seat. I don't mind hurrying now. But I'm against ignorance and stupidity on the highway. Stupid drivers. The ones going down the freeway with the seatbelt hanging out the door making sparks. The ones going over an overpass with the turn signal on. Where in the hell are they going to turn? It's like a sign to the whole world. Blink, blink, I'm stupid as hell. Stupid as hell. Or else they're in the fast lane of the freeway going 35 miles an hour with a bumper sticker on the back that says, I'd rather be sailing. Good, get the hell off the road. If I had my way in this world, every driver would be issued a little rubber stick 'em dart gun like you had when you were a kid. When somebody does something stupid, you hang out the window, you shoot them in the trunk. It would stick there with a little sign that said stupid on it. Then when the highway patrol comes by and sees the car with about a dozen of these on the back end, pulls him over, gives him a ticket for being an asshole. Which brings up the topic of the Arabs. You know, they're real lucky we can't drive over there. Or there'd be some independent truckers kicking some ass in Kuwait tonight. Let me tell you something about them old peckers. They're real lucky I ain't in charge of this country's science and technology, or I'd figure out a way of boring through the earth and sucking it out from under them. It ain't their oil. They're just closer to it. I guess we ought to be glad they're still taking dollars for it and don't want something of value. You know what we're about to spend a lot of money on, gang? We're about to spend $30 billion on the MX missile system. You know about this? Well, this is a system where we build little train cars for missiles, and we run them up to a hole and stick them in the hole, and then when the Russians know they're in the hole, we take them out of the hole and put them in another hole. Sounds like something I'd figure out, don't it? Well, why are we doing this when most Americans don't have the cash or the gas to get out of town on the weekend and have a vacation of their own? We got money for a little trip for a missile? We ought to combine these two needs and produce ICBMWs. Intercontinental Ballistic Missile Winnebagos. Now, see, you just give these out to about 1 million Americans. They head out for the weekend. They just don't tell no Russians. And the Soviets will be shaking in their boots, figuring there's 1 million Americans out for the weekend with a six-pack and a Polaris. Hey, what's so scary about driving one of these? If you got a Pinto, you're used to driving a bomb. Is it the new math? Why did two $50 tires cost $150? Because all the extras. You say, let me have them two $50 tires. He says, you want them on the car? No, I'll just eat them here, man. What would you rather have, your car or a flying saucer? Well, why don't we tell the Japs to build them for us? We're the market, they're the workers. Supply and demand. We demand that they supply it. When all we wanted was firecrackers and little paper umbrellas, we got them, didn't we? Well, tell them we want flying saucers. Get them to work on it. They love to be busy. They can make anything but a suit where the pants come down to the shoes. I was thinking, if the flying saucers land and little green people get out, what if they're in the nude and we don't know what not to look at? Or what if Mexicans get out? That'd be neat, wouldn't it? Alien aliens. I can't imagine it, though. There's no place on a flying saucer to hang a dingle ball. I don't have a hang-up about Mexicans. Listen, what do you talk about hang-up? Don't I live in the second most populous Mexican city in the world? Well, I can't ignore them. I would tell you I lived in a Mexican neighborhood if it weren't for the blacks. I'm for the minorities, especially in sports. I'm for the white guy. Now I'll pick on our other neighbors too, the Canadians. You look at their money and you can tell how strange they are. They put the queen on one side of a coin. Now, you think this is real nice. Look on the other side, they got a beaver. What the hell glory is there in first place if second place went to a beaver? Now, they talk about stuff on TV that I don't mention in a nightclub late at night. To talk about douche, I never mention that. But you don't have to be a pervert to see the sexual content in television advertising. They got this one commercial, this woman sits up in bed and she says proudly, I'm cleaning my oven. Her hands are under the covers. You figure it out. And the product is easy off, really. Then Joe DiMaggio says Mr. Coffee's the best he's ever tasted. Now, Joe DiMaggio was married to Marilyn Monroe. Come on, Joe, you have tasted better, boy. I wish there was a knob on the TV so you could turn up the intelligence. They got one marked brightness, but it don't work, does it? Most commercials are an insult to my stupidity. They'll say things like, do you need a pain reliever that works? Impotence got you down? Constipation a problem? What are you going to say? No, I dig it. Is it hard to meet a girl with acne? No, I meet them all the time. See, commercials are supposed to be an example for society. They're supposed to tell you how to act. And they don't always do this. There's this one, this girl gets a new watch. She shows it to another girl. The other girl's impressed. She goes, oh, wow, a new watch. The girl goes, I was hoping for a Longines. What a bitch. New watch ain't good enough for her. Sometimes white people embarrass me. A lot of them are just plain ignorant, too. Here's a dog we fed, Alpo dog food. Here's a dog we didn't feed. Look how much friskier the Alpo dog is than the dead one over here. We've stretched this bra between these two Mack trucks to show you girls that any elastic that can lift and separate these two big babies is going to have no problem in your little pickup. I don't know about you. Every time I see a laxative commercial, they keep talking about gentle. When I need a laxative, I want a bomb. I mean, rough me up, you know? Now, sex pervades our society completely. Sports is where it is now. Everybody that's good in sports, we somehow assume they're good in bed. Now, I don't believe that. I think being good at sports limits you. You practice whatever it is you do so much, you can't do nothing else. I know Jimmy Connors, when he's done, jumps over the bed and shakes your hand. Hey, that was pretty good, you know? Or a swimmer, when he gets to the headboard, does a flip turn and comes back for another lap, you know? And I wonder, does a rodeo cowboy think 9 seconds is a long ride? Gymnasts, though, I bet gymnasts are real good.
Yeah, they are.
First-hand knowledge here. Are you better than Nadia? Nadia's a perfectionist. Imagine that guy is a 10. Wow, Nadia, that was perfect, you know. You even pointed your toes, you little devil. That full twisting dismount wasn't bad either, babe. Well, it's about time for me to cut out. As you can see, performing for me is a sexual experience. I'm done before you are. Before I go, I'd like to impart some last few words of wisdom to you. I want you to always remember, never let your mother brush your hair when she's mad at your dad. Children who have a well-balanced breakfast before school are the only ones who throw up in gym class. That guy who said a bird in the hands worth two in the bush ain't been putting his bird in the right bushes. I want you men to remember that sex is a Chinese dinner for two. It ain't over till you both get your cookies. I want you lovers to be fair. Let the other one sleep in the wet spot half the time. This has been more than a thrill for me. This has been an inconvenience. See you later. Good night.
Well, Mike, it's certainly been amusing these last few minutes.
Yeah, trying to get the cart to not click anymore.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I'm going to fall out of this chair here.
That would be a radio first.
Yeah. So that was Gallagher.
That was Gallagher. We listened to two sides of the album. Actually, both sides of the album.
Mm-hmm.
It being a two-sided album and all, so we heard all we could hear.
That's true. Except we didn't hear the album jacket itself or the labels.
You want it?
Let's give that a shot.
That's the label. Want to go for the album sleeve?
Okay, sure.
Well, I don't think I can get it onto the turntable. I'll try.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. There it goes. Won't turn. It doesn't really turn. No, I'm sorry. That's impossible.
Oh, well. We tried.
Yeah. Can't play album jackets on the air, or anywhere for that matter. But that's the way things go.
Yeah.
Mike, we didn't make any calls today, and we were playing with the phone so much that...
We tried getting through to the Three Village Tobacco Farms.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We did try doing that.
But we couldn't get through for some reason.
Yeah. Did we get any offers for sponsors? For the tripods?
Yeah, somebody who wanted to hear this Gallagher thing said he was going to sponsor us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's something, I guess, but I like to know...
Not sponsor us, sponsor the... The tripod family.
Right. Well, I'd like to know what happened to the Three Village Tobacco Farms, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out maybe next week or something.
Yeah, could be.
Why does it sound like we're in the tunnel? Is there... Oh, my goodness, there's feedback going throughout the studios. That's coming from a long way away, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the other studio there. And
wow.
Since I'm almost leaning out this door.
Very interesting.
That button doesn't work anymore.
Ah, but this button does. Yeah. The ultimate in feedback. Well, that's going to just about do it for us.
Yeah, Filipito's coming up shortly.
Yeah, and we'll be back again next Friday night, Saturday morning, for our little thing, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 246-7901, if you have any feelings that you'd like to express or suggestions for next week, that kind of thing. We're always open to opinions, good or bad.
Yeah.
So.
And we won't even bite your head off.
No, we're not in that kind of a mood tonight, so we'll just, you know, be kind of mellow about it. You know, that's just the way it is. So, in any event, you're Mike Juhas.
And you're not. You're Eric Corley.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, time to go.
We'll see you next week.
On the Voice
of Long Island. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
How's it say? It's 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go. At the local, no, no. When my feet go through the door, I know what my right arm is for. Buy a drink and pull a chair up to the edge of the dance floor. Dancers bouncing through the night, trying to stop or start a fight. I sit and watch the flashing lights, moving legs in footless tights. I know where I'm going.
This is Long Island's non-commercial alternative at 90.1 FM in stereo, WUSB, Stony Brook.